Today on Snail Trail 4x4, Tyler does some math, and Jimmy has slistexia. Welcome one, welcome all to the Snail Trail 4x4 podcast. If you like going off-roading in Toyotas, wrenching on Toyotas, camping in Toyotas, and maybe even poking a little bit of fun at Toyotas, and of course, hearing about how awesome 431 first gears are, then this is the podcast for you. I am your host today, Tyler, and sitting here next to me on this lovely Monday is the one and only Jimmy Hydrojet, Jimmy James, Jim, J, JJ. What name do you want to go by today?
How about Jimmy Jet?
Sitting next to me is the one and only Jimmy Jet. Jimmy Jet, how are you today?
I'm doing good, Tyler. How about yourself?
I'm doing great. Obviously, we're not recording on a Monday morning, but you guys are listening to us on a Monday morning.
Yep, true.
Which means you can tune in on the YouTubes if you want, if the video is out in time, we'll see. It takes a lot, but we did talk to our video consultant.
Sure, that'll work.
And
you know who you are,
you
CJ.
You know who you are. And so he's given us a couple of tips for editing, to help editing go a little quicker here. So Jimmy's learning it, and I'm sitting back saying, teach me later.
Good luck.
Good luck, buddy.
Have fun.
So, yeah, we'll see if we get these out on time. I know that I've been kind of getting the podcast out later than typical, so hopefully that'll get fixed here. But then the video should be able to get fixed to you with the hopefully the better quicker editing.
It's really just another technique in using Adobe Premiere, which is what I use. And so it's another technique, and hopefully it'll speed it along. So
cool.
Yeah, we'll see. CJ was saying that there's a little bit of a learning curve, so it might take a little bit to start learning up front, but once you learn it, it's a lot faster.
Nice.
So
sounds good. So hopefully that'll get cool. That'll be awesome. So we're putting some money into the studio. So huge thank you to everybody out there that have been giving us your hard-earned money so that we can put money into the studio. That's really cool. So we'll have some better lighting coming up here very shortly. Hopefully better. We'll see how it works out. We'll see how it turns out.
We're still trying to grassroots this thing. We don't have the big bucks yet to get the fancy $1,000 kits.
Yeah, we have not been picked up by Motor Trend yet. So we're still working on, you know, Tyler and Jimmy money here. So which is not a lot, but hey, we're doing a lot with a little, and that's what matters. So
yeah, sooner or later, I'm hoping we can follow Mike and Max's and get a TV up into the background here.
I do have a projector.
Yeah.
That might look okay on that white wall.
Maybe.
We may have to use that. We can try it and see what happens.
Yeah. It depends on if it's bright enough.
I mean, I don't think it'll be worse than listening to Darth Vader for 2 hours.
Yeah,
so.
True. True. Well, obviously the trick is to light us up so that people can see us well, but wouldn't want then to light the wall up too much.
Yeah.
Because then if we're running a projector, which needs a dark surface to run its light. So we'll figure it out.
We'll figure something out here. So, that's been interesting. We have some big plans coming to the studio. Hopefully, the next month or so here, we'll be trying some different things. So, let us know what you guys think on your end of viewing the videos when you're viewing them.
If you're viewing them.
If you're viewing them, Greg. And so, other than that, this month we have, of course, the giveaway, the Tailgater tire table. And we'll be announcing the winner of that the first week of November, correcto?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if it'd be the first full week of November.
Yeah, sometime in there.
Because I think November 1st is Friday.
Okay. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So we'll
which is also the start of Gyms Month.
Somebody's excited. Somebody's also not excited.
I wonder if you guys can guess which one's which.
Which one is which? No, I'm not going to get into it. So there will also be
Yeah, you know what's funny is that's actually Tyler's birth month, too.
I know, right? I'm getting completely overlooked here. No, I'm an Aries. I'm over in April, so April 6th, to be exact. But you're what, November 4th?
Third.
November 3rd. That's right, because you're 11-3, and the secretary is 1-2-3, December 3rd. So.
Nice.
So you're 1-1-3, she's 1-2-3. Anyways, back to podcasting.
Yes. Welcome back, everybody.
Welcome back, everybody, from our short break off into La La Land. So we're also going to be shutting off the gift boxes at the end of the month.
Yep.
So you guys have about 2 weeks, just under 2 weeks to get in if you're listening to this or watching this. So make sure you get in on that. We'll be talking about the gift boxes. Oh, God. Oh, this Thursday?
Yeah.
This Thursday's episode. No, the next. We'll be talking about them soon. We'll figure that out.
We're a week from this episode?
Podcast time travel is difficult.
Yeah. They've all been sent out.
Yes. All the boxes have been sent out as of the time of listening to this. So,
and I am hoping that you guys receive them before we discuss what we got.
Yes.
And why we chose those items and what we were able to do.
Yeah. So we'll figure it out here. We'll let you know on Thursday's episode, I believe, when we're going to be talking and announcing those. So so that's gift boxes. We are planning a few group buys for the patrons. Mm-hmm. Remember, you have to be a patron in order to get in on those. So make sure you go over to patreon.com, become a patron there, and then you'll get access to the group buys. We have some pretty cool ones coming up. So we just got to get a couple more details on it. Once we get the details, we'll have those out to you guys. You're not going to want to miss it. So,
yeah.
Any other updates? Updates. Sunday.
A lot of new videos coming out. I mean,
yeah,
we've been doing a lot lately, so I'm trying to crank out those videos as fast as possible,
yep,
and not fall behind on anything. Even though I am weeks behind already. So
making the content isn't that bad. Producing and formatting the content takes forever.
Well, it's both. It's a combo of both, right? Like, I think if you were it takes us 5 hours to do the work inside the shop, and then it takes us 10 hours to do the video editing stuff, you know, and everything post.
That's true.
You know, but it would almost be a full day's work one way or the other.
Yeah.
You're just carrying over a little bit.
But so we can't
do both at the same time.
That's true. And it does take so much longer when you're videoing and picturing stuff when you're doing installs and whatnot. Like, we were over at Trail4R helping him install
a new camper.
Yeah. A new GFC, which is super nice, by the way.
It is.
It makes me want to get into overlanding, but we won't go that far. We won't go into that today.
Rock landing.
We'll talk more about that when Truck Norris comes on.
Yep.
So we're going to have Truck Norris on to talk about some overlanding stuff here shortly in the future. But we were there installing the GFC, and it's a pretty simple install once you figure out how all the hardware goes together. Once you figured out, it's a fairly simple install, and it should have taken us an hour and a half maybe to do. And it took us 5 hours because we're videoing everything. And
every single step.
We
had to video something. We had to photograph it. Mm-hmm. So then we're going to, you know, because Trail4R is going to write a blog. I'm going to create a video.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Slows it down. It cuts the time in half.
Oh,
or, doubles the time.
In this case, it was more than double the time.
Yeah.
And I was amazed just sitting back because I was kind of doing more of taking the video shots, and you were doing a lot of the install, and then Brandon was doing all of his pictures and installing one side. And so I was just kind of like sitting back in charge of the video equipment, and I was like, this is taking forever. But I was but it has to be. You have to do it this way.
Yeah.
I was like,
usually we were kind of like running circles, doing different sides, doing different things.
Mm-hmm.
Usually when Brandon and I work, we do one side.
Mm-hmm.
And while we're doing that, we're taking photos.
Yeah.
And then when we move to the other side, we know what we need to do and we can be more smooth and we can create the video.
Yeah.
Because when we're shooting video and taking photos, you know, it's like there was a few times when we were doing something, he's like, okay, pause.
Yeah.
I need to take a photo. And I'm like, I can't pause. I'm in the middle of a video.
Yeah.
Like, what are you talking about?
So we'd have to undo what you did in the video to get the pictures of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we did the install like four times pretty much. That's what it came down to.
Sometimes it goes like that.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's fun though. It's fun. I still am enjoying it.
Yeah.
I'm still having a good time.
I really am looking forward to the Samantha build.
Yes.
I can't wait till we can button our own rigs up enough that we can start putting some concentrating time on to Samantha.
Yes. And that's going to be a lot of fun because we have some high goals, some lofty goals for Samantha.
We do. I think there's, it's going to be in stages, but I think we're going to get there. I think what we need to do, and I mean, I'm just going to say this now. We haven't even talked about this, is we need to see where Green Eggs and Ham stacks up in the rankings and how Bobcat stacks up in the rankings and then build Samantha
to beat both of them
to see if with all the Toyota stuff I have and see how it stacks up.
Okay.
And then build Samantha to try and beat whatever rig's winning.
Okay. I really want to, when we do Samantha, I want to start really getting into the tube bender.
Oh, yeah.
And get into all that.
That's definitely going to happen.
For Samantha. So,
if not happening for fender flare stuff for you
or a cage
set up.
Saving
so
my windows.
So you don't break your windows tree slapper. And I still want to do, I want to extend my bumpers and make a front bumper for Bobcat. So, I mean, there's definitely things that need to get done. And
you need some recovery points because we are taking you snow wheeling a lot this year. Okay.
Okay.
Okay, good. I'm glad we're all on board here. Oh, man. Anyways, so I think that's it for updates.
Yeah.
Cool.
I think so.
Should we get into today's topic, our campfire discussion for today?
Absolutely. It's going to be a great one.
I think it's going to be fun. It's been one that we've had requested quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that you guys are going to enjoy it. I know that every time we kind of tap on this topic, we always get lots of feedback about it saying, oh, that was awesome. We want more.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully today is going to be like a nice in-depth view discussion that you can talk with your buddies about around a campfire next time you're out wheeling. So sit back, relax, grab some adult beverages. If you drive a JK, grab a latte, and we'll be right on back with today's campfire discussions. Welcome back, ladies, gents, and kiddos, to today's campfire discussions. So, Mr. Jet, what do we get to talk about today? Because I know this is a really cool topic.
Yeah.
I know that it's been requested.
It has.
I know that every time we touch on it, we get a lot of great feedback.
This is true.
And we get more requests.
Often.
So,
about many things.
About many things, yeah. What do we get to talk about today?
Today, we're going to be talking about gears and gearing.
Ba-da-da-da-ba-pow.
Yeah.
So, what does that mean?
So, I'm glad you asked.
Oh, good.
I think one of the things, what we need to sort of start off with is, what is a gear?
True.
And what's hilarious about this is my nephew, who's six, just got asked. He's in like some advanced engineering fun class at school.
Really?
Yeah, at a six-year-old.
I wish I had those when I was a six-year-old. Jesus.
And his teacher asked, what is a gear? And he knew. He raised his hand.
That's awesome. Okay.
And he said, it's sort of a round thing that has these things that poke off that they call teeth. And it moves around and it helps things move.
Wow.
And that was his definition
of
a gear.
That's better than my definition of a gear.
And I'm like, my parents were telling me this. I'm like, where did he learn that? Like, he was not in the shop looking at a transmission or anything recently.
Huh.
Legos.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's amazing. Yeah. I know that the Kinects things are amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they have amazing ones now. I guess my father, is playing with my nephew with ones that are like you can write codes in a computer and it wirelessly transfers them to a computer Lego thing.
Okay.
And then you can do commands like move forward, move back, lift, raise, move, and it's really, really cool stuff. And so my nephew's building robots.
No shit.
And
that's
telling
amazing.
Him to move around and do things.
That's
with
so cool.
Legos.
Is he like, going to get into BattleBots?
Hopefully.
I hope so.
I know. We can build some
cool
stuff.
Dude, I would be so excited to get into yeah. BattleBots. Like, right? That was like one of the things I completely geeked out on when I was little. So,
yeah. So we'll see what happens to that in the future. But super stoked that my nephew knew what a gear was and was one of the only people that raised his hand in the class.
That's pretty freaking awesome, man. He's spot on too.
Pretty much.
It's a round thing with teeth on it or cogs of some kind that when you mesh them together, they help things move and they drive other components, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what's really cool about gears is leverage.
Yes.
And ultimately what gears are doing is it's harnessing leverage without having a really long rod lever. It's using much and lots and lots and lots of little tiny rods to gain this leverage, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what's really cool about gears. And the more rods you have in a gear, the more teeth. That's what these teeth are doing. They're acting as all these little rods to give you the leverage for, say, this is your driving force. It's going to drive the other one down thanks to all these little rods on there, the teeth.
Right. They're going to push you towards – one's pushing the other to move – multiple different things.
Yes. Super cool. There's an awesome video of how differentials work.
Yes.
Amazing. It's from like the 50s, maybe a little later. I don't know.
The only one
earlier.
Problem with that video, though.
What?
It's got Jeeps in it.
Yeah. We can just say it's like an FJ40 and it's just a really blurry video.
Yeah.
But yeah,
it's an awesome video, though.
It is
talking about how a differential works.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure a lot of you guys out there have seen it before. I'll put a link down in the description. We'll put a link in the video or the podcast.
Yep.
But it talks about why they made spider gears and how the gears work and why when there was one tire being pushed, it wasn't working very well. So they wanted two tires to be pushed. And then how do you make two tires spin around a corner and all these different things? And all that involves the gears and gearing.
And it has a really good explanation of what leverage is at the beginning of the video and how do you turn that into a gear and then it goes into your differentials. So, awesome video. We'll put it down there. But yeah, that's what a gear is. It leverages leverage to drive things, whatever you want to hook them up to.
Mm-hmm.
So in our case, what do our gears drive? Like what is the point of gears in an off-roading vehicle?
Well, there's many different locations of gearing.
True, absolutely.
Right.
Where are they? So yeah, let's start there.
So I mean, coming off the engine, there's no real gears or gear reduction or anything happening there.
No. Nope.
It's kind of a one-to-one combustion force output thing.
Yep.
Right? So then you either have a clutch or a torque converter or something, and then you go into your transmission.
Mm-hmm.
Now, your transmission is like the number one place that gears are for the most part.
Yes.
I mean, there's gears in different places, but probably the vast amount of the majority of gearing's in your transmission.
Yes, 100%.
You know, and so we're taking the power output of your engine and we're turning that into a rotational force of, you know, in the gears. And we are using gearing to either speed ourselves up or slow ourselves down in a way, or I guess to help us start moving.
Yeah.
So you got your transmission. Let's just kind of jump quickly backwards.
Okay.
Just talking about different parts, right? So that's the transmission. So then for us off-roaders, then we usually go to a transfer case.
Mm-hmm.
A transfer case, is a transfers the power from the output of the transmission to, it could be forward to your front drive or to your front axle or backwards to your rear axle.
Okay.
Inside of there, most of the time, there is also a gear reduction. So that's when you move your vehicle from four-wheel high to four-wheel low. That's a gear reduction.
Mm-hmm.
Now that changes out to the drive shafts. Your drive shafts go down to your axles. Now there's gearing in your differentials in your axles.
Mm-hmm.
When you're going bigger tires, you're going to want to change your gears and things of that nature.
Uh-huh.
Right? And then in some applications, we have gearing in the hubs.
True.
Which are portal boxes.
Boxes.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Unimogs or pin stars, whatever they're called. And
I don't remember what they're called. There's a few companies that does portal boxes, and
Hummers.
They're like on Hummers. Mm-hmm. They're on Hummers for sure. H1s, mm-hmm. Military stuff. They make portal boxes for different application, different vehicle applications, but they're like $2,000 per box.
Yeah, they're expensive.
So they're pricey. $2,000 to $2,500 per box.
Some elite run them, and mm-hmm. they're not very common. So we'll probably just kind of glaze over those, but there mm-hmm. is a gear reductions in those.
Possibility there as well.
Yeah. But we're not going to really touch on those at all today.
Nope.
We're going to focus on transmission, T cases,
uh-huh.
and differentials.
Cool. So those are the places you can typically find gears at.
Yes.
Now, whenever you hear a gear, somebody talk about a 5-speed, say you have a 5-speed transmission,
mm-hmm.
And they say first gear, second gear, third gear, fourth gear, but then what you don't normally hear talked about a lot in transmission world, but you hear talked about a ton in differential world, is the number associated with the gears in your differentials.
Sure.
So say 4.08 or 4.88 or mm-hmm. 4.56 or 5.29, 513, 538. What does that number refer to?
In the differential?
In any time. So whenever you have a gear, so say, and even in your transmission. So say your transmission, what you don't hear a lot about transmissions
mm-hmm.
is what the okay. actual gear ratio is.
Yeah. So what I think you're getting at is that the ratio that you're talking about, 529, 5.29, 5.71,
mm-hmm.
4.11, you mm-hmm. know, all mm-hmm. these, you know, or what our show topic was today, 4.31 uh-huh. are all a ratio of how many times that gear is going to turn
mm-hmm.
to change the output one rotation. Is that the way you would
yep.
say it?
Yep.
So in the case, let's use differentials because I think this works well.
Yeah.
So if we have a 411, which is kind of the stock Toyota drivetrain in the 90s
the mini
range,
trucks,
right?
Yeah.
Mini trucks.
Yep.
411 was the differential. So that means for every 4.11 times the drive shaft rotates,
uh-huh.
the tires turn once.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's essentially what it is, right? Those mm-hmm. numbers associated with your gears are typically a gear ratio. And what it tells you is how many turns of the input of that gear for one turn of the output of that gear.
Sure, yeah.
So, if your transmission, say your first gear of your transmission runs at, let's just take an R151 transmission.
Right.
It runs at 4.31 gear ratio in first gear.
First gear.
So
what does that mean?
That means your engine is going to turn 4.31 times and the output of the transmission is going to turn once.
Right.
That's what that means. And so you do that and then you combine that to, say, a stock Toyota transfer case, which is typically 2.28 gear reduction.
Mm-hmm.
So that means for every 2.28 rotations of our transmission, the transfer case output is turning once.
Okay. Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. You're right.
So how many times now does it take our engine to turn over to turn our transfer case once?
Well, it's you have to do the math.
Correct. So how does the math work there?
Where's Constantine?
Constantine, we need you again, buddy.
So what we're looking at is for every 4.31 rotations mm-hmm. of the engine, it turns the drive shaft once. Then you
turns the transmission once.
The transmission once. Sorry, mm-hmm. thank you. Then you multiply that
uh-huh.
by the 2.28 of a stock gear reduction box.
Correct.
And then that would give us the equal of to one rotation of our drive shaft.
Correct. So essentially, that's perfect. And I hope you guys followed that because that's what you do with gears. Anytime you're adding a gear, you multiply it
mm-hmm.
by your upstream gears.
Right.
Right. So let's say our transmission is 4.31. Our mm-hmm. gear reduction is 2.28.
Right.
Our differential is 5.29.
Okay.
you multiply all those together to get how many times your engine is going to turn for how many times your tires are going to turn.
Right.
So that will give you your final ratio, your final drive ratio in that gear. And then you can change that up by going into four high, four low. Typically, four high is going to be a straight through one-to-one, so yep. There's no reduction. Typically, with most Toyota, the older style, typically with a five-speed transmission,
mm-hmm.
your fourth gear is going to be a one-to-one.
Yeah,
your
usually.
Your fifth gear is typically like an overdrive,
mm-hmm.
where it gets actually a high...
yeah, it's like...
lower number, higher gear.
Or something.
Yeah, it's like a 0.8 or 0.78, somewhere right around there. So it actually reduces your final drive ratio
mm-hmm.
by having that overdrive. And then your gears 1, 2, and 3...
If you're in that gear.
If you're in that gear, correct.
Right.
If your transmission is set in that gear.
Just having that fifth gear doesn't reduce
it. No.
You have to be
using
that gear
yeah.
for that ratio.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then gears 1, 2, and 3 are going to be a number of different ratios depending on how Toyota decided to set up that transmission to pair it with that engine.
Right.
So.
And, I mean, I think this would be a good time to point out that almost a lot of transmissions are different. A lot mm-hmm. of T cases are different, mm-hmm. and you have different gearing in your diffs.
Yep.
And there's sort of like we know the Toyota world quite well,
mm-hmm.
and you know it's like yeah, we know what's in what transmissions, and we know what's in our T cases and things of that nature, and we have a good idea about if you're running what tire size. We probably know what's in your diff,
mm-hmm.
but you know if you're running a turbo 400.
Yeah.
You know, then you have different gears in yeah. that than what we're going to be having, you know, and things are different setups. So you can kind of pick and choose what kind of find out a gear ratio that you want and then see if you can find a transmission or a T case or, you know, a gear ratios and what diffs you're going to run mm-hmm. and what tire sizes and things like that to make to find something that is going to work for you
mm-hmm.
and your vehicle.
Yep, I agree. And I mean, that's 100%. It's all kind of about customizing. We'll get into that in a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you want to... I don't want to say why. What's the benefit of using gears and making use of gears to your use? did that make sense?
No.
What's the benefit of using gears for off-roading?
What's the benefit of having them?
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Right. And so it really comes down to like a rotational mass in my mind.
Kind
right?
of, yeah.
It's a good way so you're going to have your engine's going to be at a certain speed, right? And so when you hit, like, if you hit a wall,
mm-hmm.
right, and you're at a 1-to-1 ratio,
mm-hmm.
you're going to have to really use the power and torque of your engine to get yourself up this wall.
Yes.
If it's even at all possible.
If your engine has any power and torque,
right?
In the case now, of some Toyota the mini right? trucks, yeah.
And now if you reduce your gearing,
mm-hmm.
you know, let's say you cut it in half. Now mm-hmm. your engine is going to is only going to work half as hard
mm-hmm.
to get you the equal amount of force to get you up that wall.
Yeah.
Right?
That makes sense.
Yep. And so if you're reducing your engine by 100 times,
mm-hmm.
you know, now your engine doesn't have to work as hard.
Yep.
You know, it's having to work 100 times as hard or less hard.
100 times as less as hard.
Less as hard
yeah.
to get you up that wall.
Yeah.
Right? And
yep.
so a lot of it comes down to getting more torque and more power and more sort of rotational power mm-hmm. out of what you have.
Leverage. Yay. Rotational power. I love it. I love physics. So yeah, that's exactly right. So the more gears, remember gears are leverage.
Mm-hmm.
So the more leverage you have, the easier something is to do.
Right.
And so as you're off-roading, it just takes a lot of stress off of your engine. The more gears you have.
Right.
So, it's a good thing. Gears give you torque. That's what torque is.
Right.
It's rotational leverage. Gears do not give you power, though.
No.
No. Gears don't give you power. Your engine will supply power, and that comes from a number of different forces in play. Torque, though, is where gears come into play.
Right.
So having a lot of gears is nice. It gives you different kinds of crawl ratios,
mm-hmm.
it can, especially for rock crawling, which
yep.
is what, you know, our, as you heard from our what was that, build planning 101 rock crawlers?
Yeah. A week ago.
We love rock crawling, and so we love gears. Gears are awesome. And there's other people out there that will tell you there's no, what was it? There's no replacement for displacement.
Mm-hmm. I think I heard that in a fellow podcast.
In a fellow podcast, yeah. Yeah, okay. So, no, I'm just kidding. But, and to some effect, that is true.
Right.
But I think that there's no replacement for gearing options.
I agree to that as well. I think that there's a definite balance between the two, but mm-hmm. I think that, you know, like, obviously us Toyota people prove mm-hmm. or really can show that you don't need a ton of display, well, at least for rock crawling.
Yeah,
right?
At least for rock crawling. Yeah.
You don't need a ton of displacement
no.
to crawl along a trail.
And to get up obstacles.
Right.
I don't think there's, you know, sure, there's a few obstacles here and there where you do need displacement, you do need mm-hmm. power, but you don't need, I think, as much as you think you need.
Right. Yeah. There's definitely, like, I'm down in Johnson Valley, you know, mm-hmm. King of the Hammers area, you know, some of those hills, you're going to need some displacement.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and, you know, there's times when you need to do the Moab bump and mm-hmm. things of that nature where you're going to need a little displacement, but you don't, I agree. I don't think you need as much as everybody says you need.
Yeah.
You definitely need more rotational mass, rotational force, mm-hmm. leverage, torque, mm-hmm. things of that.
Mm-hmm. So I'm a big believer in torque, and I think this is one of the things that Toyota people have kind of known since like 1995.
Before that
gearing 85. And torque.
I would go back to 85.
You think 85? That's when we started putting together cases and dual cases and everything.
Well, what's Marlin's vehicle? 83.
It's an 83. I don't know when the first dual case
box came out.
Box
I'm not sure.
came out.
But 85. I'll say 85 just because that's the golden year.
Okay. I'll take that. So yeah, Toyota owners have known this forever, that torque is amazing for rock crawling and that you don't need a whole lot of displacement to do some pretty awesome things rock mm-hmm. crawling. So that's kind of where we're heading here with gears. That's kind of what gears are, how to figure out gears ratios. So you calculate your gear ratio by multiplying all your gears together.
Right.
So mm-hmm. in the case of, let's just take for as an example, before we get into other comparisons and stuff, Bobcat.
Okay.
So Bobcat's new setup that he's going to have.
Yep.
Is going to be a first gear of 4.31.
Yep.
With a reduction box of 2.28.
Right.
With a 4.7
transfer case.
Mm-hmm. With 5.29 gears in the differentials.
Right.
So you multiply all that together and you get about, what, 244
yeah.
and some change?
Mm-hmm.
244, 245. To one gear ratio.
Right. 244 times the engine turns for one rotation.
For one rotation.
Of my tires.
So, we found a that's pretty cool. And it makes you just go really slow. And going slow isn't necessarily the awesome thing about that. Going slow helps you stay on your very precise lines that we have in rock crawling mm-hmm. typically. You know, you get off line more than an inch. And you could have very bad things happen sometimes.
Right.
So going slow helps you maintain the very precise lines we need to be on for rock crawling.
It helps you maintain control.
But it really helps you maintain control.
Mm-hmm.
And being able to do an entire trail, no matter how many ledges, no matter how many down steep angles there are, and not have to use brakes.
Yeah.
That's huge.
Right.
Because you have another pedal you don't have to worry about.
I mean, you talked all about that in the last podcast.
Uh-huh. And that's another nice thing about gearing is not only is your engine going to move you along, mm-hmm. but it's also going to help slow you down on descents with the more gearing you have. And the more gears you have, the easier it is and the more your engine will control your descents. So there's a great story of, you met John from the Mad Hatters, John and Renee?
Yeah.
So John in his TJ, mm-hmm. no, sorry, it was in his CJ at the time. He was in Moab with it and going down, I think it was Lion's Back before it was closed.
Okay.
And he went down the whole thing, and the guy behind him, when he gets to the bottom, the guy behind him started chewing him out and said, "You can't be out here without brake lights. You need to get your brake lights fixed and checked and blah, blah, blah." And like yelling at John about his brake lights and how they didn't work.
That's funny.
And so John goes, "Really? My brake lights are on?" And he steps on his brakes and the lights come on. And the guy's like, "Well, they weren't working at all coming down the lines back there. And I was like almost running into you, and I didn't know when you were braking and not." And John goes, "That's because I didn't touch my brakes coming down Lion's right. Back because gears."
Yeah.
So
I was letting the vehicle control itself on its descent.
Let the vehicle control itself,
mm-hmm.
which is awesome. My buddy, I don't know if you've met him yet, Samurai James.
I haven't met him yet.
He went through the Rubicon. His first time through the Rubicon, he was letting in the clutch, feathering the clutch, and riding the brake down descents. And I was like, "Dude, let the rig do the work."
Yeah.
You're geared well enough. You have awesome gears in your Samurai. Right. And so I just told him, I said,
"Stay off the clutch.
I'm going to have you go down this thing. Don't touch your clutch. Be in first gear, low, low, and see what the Samurai does." Yeah. He did it and just went, "Ooh," and just walked down. He goes, "I'm not touching anything." And I was like, "Isn't it awesome?"
Right.
Yeah. So gearing controls you, helps you control every aspect of your vehicle so much better.
Mm-hmm.
The other cool thing about gearing is, you know, like we said, gearing helps you get torque, right?
Yes.
So how do you use your gearing to figure out how much torque you're actually getting out of your drivetrain?
You've said this formula before, and yes. It's you have to find your crawl ratio,
mm-hmm.
and then you mm-hmm. multiply it by
your engine's output torque if you have a manual or a locking torque converter.
Right. Okay.
So if you have a locking torque converter or a manual, then all you do is you take your engine's output torque,
mm-hmm.
And you just have to look that up. And most of the time, the specs that are going to be given for your engine are going to be like at the top of the torque curve and the power curve, which is usually for most engines up around like 4,000, 4,500 yeah. RPMs. So you have to take that into consideration. You're not going to get all your torque down at 1,000 to 1,500 RPMs where we're crawling at.
Right.
But you can kind of get it to kind of guesstimate. You take your engine's torque output, multiply it by your gear ratio,
mm-hmm.
and that's going to give you how much torque you have to the wheels on the ground.
You know, I think I have something to say. If you have more to say on the output of finding that max torque, I want to.
Nope. There's just disclaimer things. You know, it's not going to be 100% accurate. You're not going to know unless you go dyno your vehicle kind of thing. But anyways, yeah.
I think you hit on a really interesting point there that we actually didn't have written down.
An interesting point. This is amazing.
First time
in 35 episodes, ladies and gentlemen.
I think when you're geared, appropriately geared for a trail,
mm-hmm.
With, you know, all the gearing that you would need,
mm-hmm.
right? Whether it's, you know, one T case or proper gears in your diff, you know, and things that, or, you know, maybe even changing out your transmission.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things you notice is that you really don't need to go into high RPMs.
No.
To go drive down a trail.
No, you don't. Like you ever.
Yeah. Like when I'm wheeling the Rubicon,
yeah.
I bet you I never go above 2,000.
I would believe that. Yeah.
You know, like even when I'm on like Soup Bowl,
mm-hmm.
I'm just, you know, I'm probably 800 to 1,000 RPMs.
Yeah.
Just kind of creep and crawl up it. Uh-huh. And eventually it goes.
Uh-huh.
I don't need to hit 4,000 RPMs to climb that hill.
Nope.
You know, that obstacle, which is... You know, almost a cliff.
Two big cliffs. Yeah.
Right? You know, and you're twisted.
Yeah.
You know, and so I think that, you know, one of the things that's really interesting about gearing is uh-huh. that, you know, you get your vehicle, you get an understanding of your vehicle and where you need to be and what gear you need to be in, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. what torques you want to be at. Because a lot of times when I'm wheeling around, you know, it's like if I'm in, my like 2.28 stock, mm-hmm. You know, reduction box,
mm-hmm.
my engine, and I hit a rock,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's like, I've got to give it more gas to get over that rock.
Uh-huh.
Where if I'm in a lower gear,
mm-hmm.
like if I'm in the 4.7 case,
mm-hmm.
right. And I hit that rock, I don't need to give it a lot of gas to get over that rock.
Yeah.
It kind of, the engine's already sort of moving, and
yeah.
and the when the gears hit, it's, you know, it is already kind of crawling over that rock because mm-hmm. it's, you know, it's not doesn't use as much force out of the engine or as much torque or leverage mm-hmm. to get over that rock because mm-hmm. it's your gear down.
You're using all the leverage from your gears.
Right.
You're not having to use momentum
mm-hmm.
to get up and over stuff
Absolutely.
Because you're getting the rotational force and rotational leverage from all the gears,
mm-hmm.
which is really awesome. There's a lots of times when I'll get stuck in an obstacle. Like, say, I got hung up in Little Sluice
okay.
a while back,
mm-hmm.
and I was literally kind of high-centered on my passenger slider, but I had just enough traction on the tires where my tires were just barely grabbing the ground
yeah.
and the rock right in the middle at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And you can just pop it into crawl, low, 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 and sit there and just kind of wiggle around. You can feel what tires grab traction when.
Right.
And know that's a good way to go or that's not a good way to go or, hey, keep trying to over this way. And
mm-hmm.
it just allows you to work your way through obstacles, work your way around obstacles, work your way off of obstacles if you get stuck without shock loading your drivetrain, without losing track of where you have traction at. Because if you start spinning out, you don't know where you have traction at.
No.
At all.
Right.
So
if you just sit there and spin the tires,
yeah.
you know, then you're just not going anywhere and you're just using horsepower and just digging a hole.
Exactly.
In a way.
Yeah.
You know, where if you're just in a slow-mo crawl,
mm-hmm.
you can feel like, okay, if I turn slightly driver,
mm-hmm.
my vehicle actually is starting to catch and starting to pull
mm-hmm.
me up. But
mm-hmm.
if you're like skinny pedal down, horsepower up,
mm-hmm.
you're not feeling any of this. You're just
no.
moving your wheel back and forth and hope you pop up and over.
Yeah. That's called, for all you physics nerds out there, the coefficient of friction. So, the more you know. Yeah. So, it just means that once you break friction with something, it maintains broken much easier than
mm-hmm.
it is to actually break that friction in the first place.
Yeah.
So if you're going slow and crawling along, you can maintain traction and maintain friction contact with your surface much easier than if you're just spinning out. If you're spinning out, you're just going to continue losing traction.
Mm-hmm.
So I forgot where I was going with that.
I don't know.
So anyways,
I wanted to talk, mm-hmm. and this might be jumping ahead, and just stop me if we do. I wanted to talk real quick about differential gears to tires.
Okay.
We've kind of hit on this in the past.
Okay.
But you can find, I've had a few people ask me, like, what gears should I run in my diff?
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And you can, there is a math formula to figure that out also.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so what you do is you have to find what your tire size is at stock and what your gear ratio is, your diff ring and pinion gear ratio is at stock.
Mm-hmm.
And then you find out what tire you want to be at or are at. And then you can, from there, you can find out what gear ratio you should be at from. And it's, you know, I think it's just a simple little multiplication and divide formula
essentially,
from there.
Yeah. Essentially, you're finding out a ratio there.
Right. You're finding the ratio out between your tire size and your ring and pinion.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if you have 29-inch tires and 411s, you divide those out and
mm-hmm.
you find your ratio.
Mm-hmm.
Then, if you want to go to 37s, you multiply that ratio by the rate,
the 37s,
and you get,
to get your ring and pinion.
You get your ring and pinion.
Yep. Yeah. So, yeah, that's a good point, too. So, and then you can always kind of customize your gears.
Absolutely.
So, like, say you don't want to have a super low crawl
mm-hmm.
because you want to use your rig out in Moab more.
Mm-hmm.
And you need a little bit more speed, momentum to carry up ledges and up hills. You can always put a different gear in your differential. That's usually the easiest gear to replace and switch out.
Yeah.
So say instead of running 529s or really deep gear, you can put a 411 into your differential.
Yeah.
And run deep gears in your transfer case and your transmission.
Mm-hmm.
If you're really picky about, you know, you want your vehicle to perform a certain way on road, you can start swapping out your transmission gears.
Right.
So there's lots of different customizing you can do.
Which is something that you pretty much just did.
Which is essentially something that I just did. Yeah.
Right.
So I took my R151, which had a really deep first and second gear, and I swapped it with a W56 transmission, which has a little bit higher first and second gear
mm-hmm.
Because I wanted a little bit more oomph in second gear.
Right.
So, Yeah, so you can customize gears.
Yeah, and depending on what you're looking for. Doing. If you're mm-hmm. mainly on the road, you might want to customize it one way. Mm-hmm. If you're mainly doing fire trails, you know, you're going to go a different thing. Rock crawling, you do something else. If mm-hmm. you're in the sand, you might go another way. Mm-hmm. You know, there's many different options. I mean, all these, from the transmission to your transfer case to your differential, you can do any combo of these things mm-hmm. kind of to find what's going to best work for yourself.
Absolutely.
Which was that what I was talking about earlier.
Yeah. So, you know, the other thing that I really, really like about gears, other than displacement, rather than using displacement for everything, mm-hmm. is that you have more options, right? If you don't need your crawl gears, you don't need to use them.
Right.
If you don't
You could say that with displacement, though, couldn't you?
Not really.
If you don't need the full horsepower, you don't need to have the full... You don't have to push the pedal down as far.
You're still going to get a lot of displacement, though.
Yeah.
I mean, if your engine has, you know, a lot of... If you say you have a 5.3 or 5.9 liter engine, mm-hmm. V8, you're still going to get a lot of displacement at 2,000 RPMs.
Yeah. Well, you'll get more, for sure, definitely. Yeah. But, I mean, but you don't have... I mean... There's a balance there as well.
True. But you're not going to be able to get those low gears with displacement. I mean, you can put low gears and have displacement.
Right.
But then you just start breaking stuff.
Right. And that is one of the things. I mean, I don't know if we have on our list to talk about that is that, you know, when you start adding all these things up mm-hmm. and you start getting all this torque, mm-hmm. you know, hitting a high displacement, hitting a heavy horsepower motor is you're more likely to be breaking some of these things.
Yes.
Because now you've got all this torque and, you know, leverage going into these products, mm-hmm. you know, that now you're going to be having, you could be having more problems yeah. in a way. Yeah. So that is a balance there that you want to play with.
Yep.
You know, like how big is my motor? What, you know, how much horsepower am I getting? Do I really need to go that low because I have this horsepower?
True.
You know? Because sometimes if you have a heavy horsepower vehicle, you don't need to go as low because one, you might be using your displacement and two, mm-hmm. you'll be breaking the, you know, using the leverage of all these gears to yeah. break something.
Yeah.
So
like, we'll take a Jeff, Mr. Full Size.
There you go. Perfect example.
He had a 5.3 liter in his mm-hmm. Dodge. With a 4-speed Atlas.
Mm-hmm.
So his final drive ratio, his final crawl ratio with that was right around 240, I mm-hmm. think, to 1, 230 to 1, which is very similar to what Jimmy and I run in our Toyotas. The difference is his V8 produced 4 times as much torque.
Yeah.
As we did. So you put that into the equation now.
Yeah.
I mean, you're looking at, he had, what, 350, 400 foot-pounds of torque, maybe more. And we're looking at, out of the 22 REs, we're looking 90,
yeah,
80,
maybe.
80, 90, and that's at the top of our curves, right? But you take his 400, just for the sake of having a number, and start multiplying that by 230, you know, how much foot-pounds of torque is that going down to your tires and your wheels? What is it?
96,000
foot-pounds of torque.
240 times 400.
Jesus Christ. Going out to your wheels. So, you know, no wonder why every time Jeff went off-roading, he snapped a hub.
Right.
You know, metal can only withstand so much. And why he blew a 14-bolt and completely and destroyed his whole front end. His Atlas, too. He shredded the intermediate gears on his Atlas. So, mm-hmm. You know, that goes back to there's a balance, right? You can have displacement and really low gears, but then you're looking at a ton of torque in your drivetrain,
mm-hmm.
or you can do one or the other. You can have a lot of displacement and give up the fine precision crawling, or you can have very little displacement, high gear or very low gears, lots of gears, and have your precision crawling, but then maybe not have as good of a, job, not as easy of a time going up ledges and boosting yourself up things.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of give and take, and it really depends on what kind of off-roading you have in your area.
Yeah, or what kind of off-roader you are.
Or what kind of off-roader you prefer. Yeah.
Right.
So,
or what you enjoy doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, because, I mean, even if, you know, if Moab was in our backyard, you know, I probably would be setting Bobcat up differently.
I would probably set up the second gen up differently. I'd probably go with a 3.4. I'd do a swap in it right away.
Give myself a little bit more horsepower, a little bit more displacement to get over something.
Yeah.
But since I'm just trying to climb cliffs and walls and over Volkswagen bugs, I just need the super low gears and not a lot of horsepower.
Yeah. Yep. So just different kinds of off-roading. There's different stuff out there as we're learning from our build planning 101 series that we're going to be doing here. A great tool. So say you're building out your plan, you're planning out your build. My dyslexia kicked in there for a second. Say you're planning out your build and you want to try and figure out what gears you should put in your axles. What do you want to put in your transfer case? What transmission do you want to go with, right?
Yeah.
How do we find that out?
Is there an easy way? There's a website.
So there's a great website.
Which was just pointed out to us.
Yeah.
Now we're like, ooh.
And now we've been playing around with it. Yeah, we've been playing around with it a lot. So
who is it? Who showed us this?
Mike and Max's Off-Road Podcast, not show. It's Off-Road Podcast.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot, guys. So yeah. Thanks, guys.
We thought about making something like this because we couldn't find anything along these lines.
Yeah. So it's an awesome website. It's called grimjeeper.com. Mm-hmm. And it's really cool. You can set up what transmission. They have almost every freaking transmission listed there, too.
Tons in there.
So you can pick your transmission. You can pick your transfer case. You can pick your underdrive is what they call it. That's essentially your doubler, what gear your doubler is at, or if you have another extra reduction boxes. And then you put in your axle differential gear ratio, and it'll tell you every single gear ratio that you're running in first gear, second gear, third gear, fourth gear, fifth gear, and then high and low with your transfer case. And then it'll tell you what you are with your underdrive and your transfer case in all of those as well.
Right.
Which is freaking amazing. It's so cool.
Why is that cool? I mean, one of the things that I've always wanted to figure out is like when I'm in four low, fourth gear.
Yeah.
Should I really be in four low second gear?
Yeah. That's a good one. You can see where what gears lining up.
How do the gear ratio? How close are those? Mm-hmm. You know, where should I be? What do I need to be at? Like, you know, because there's a lot of times when I'm, you know, in four low and like fourth and fifth gear, and I'm like, man, I'm so like I'm at the top end of my, you know, shifting. I don't know where I want to go. Should I shift down to, you know, the standard 2.28?
Mm-hmm.
And then where should I be at?
Yeah,
you know, is that the equivalent to first gear?
Yeah. So the reason why I wanted to know about gears is because about, you know, be able to calculate out my first, second, third, fourth gear in the different things is because I wanted to compare, what I drive on the trail ever and what I drive in obstacles compared to what a typical Jeep Rubicon will drive.
Sure.
What their drive ratios are.
Okay.
For the most part,
we just looked up what is a transmission of a Jeep.
Mm-hmm.
And we found it was the
The Dodge or Chrysler 545 RFE.
RFE. So that's
there's
the
a
one
2006
we chose.
To current.
We chose that one.
And that's the five-speed automatic.
Five-speed automatic, right.
Yes.
Exactly. And then we chose a 4-to-1 transfer case because that's what they have. We just chose a generic 4-to-1 option.
Mm-hmm.
We gave you 538 gears and 37-inch tires.
Mm-hmm.
And that was what that's what we figure most of the Jeep JK guys kind of are running. I mean, some are running 40, some might have different gears, things like that. But most all of them are running a 4-to-1 transfer case, no doubler or anything along those lines, and that transmission or one of those transmissions.
Yeah.
Something close to that.
Yep.
And so what we're going to do is we're going to compare that to Bobcat or the
I pretty much set it up for the second gen 4Runner, green eggs and ham. But I put a 37 inch tire instead of a 36, whatever. So I put in the 4Runner. So the Jeep's gear ratios, we'll tell you guys right now, is so we have 3-to-1 in your first gear, 1.67 in second, and then 1-to-1 in third gear, and then 0.75 in fourth and 0.5 in fifth gear.
Wow.
Which is interesting.
Good overdrive.
Good overdrives. Your
so
transfer case.
So 3-to-1 first.
3-to-1 is first gear.
That's so, the main one you want to pay attention to.
The transfer case is your 4-to-1 Rubicon transfer case. We gave you the, what is the 538s in the axles, 37-inch tires. Your final crawl ratio is...
In first gear.
In first gear is 64.56-to-1. So 64-to-1.
Yeah, so 64 times that your engine turns, one rotation of your tires.
The first gear without the doubler in Green Eggs and Ham is 98-to-1.
Yeah.
So I can run... second gear would be 53-to-1.
Well, is it, so without the doublers, you're 2-to-1. More 2.28-to-1. So is that has the 4.7 in it, right?
Yeah.
So you're saying first gear with your 4.7 involved
correct.
Is 96.
Correct.
Which
98.
Which is a 4.7, so it is a little lower.
Mm-hmm. A little lower,
than
but
the 4-to-1. So
yeah.
What is the first gear of the W56?
It is 3.95.
So it's almost 4-to-1 right there.
Mm-hmm.
Almost 4-to-1, 3.95 to compared to 3.1.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And then the second gear is 53 for me, 35 for a Jeep. Third gear is 34 versus 21. Fourth gear is 24 versus 16. And then fifth gear is 21 versus 10 kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, once you put in my doubler.
It pretty much more or less says you double everything.
So you double
a little
just
bit
about
more
everything.
Than a double.
So yeah. It's a little bit more than a double. It's my first gear becomes 223.9-to-1. So 224-to-1. The Jeep is 64-to-1.
Yeah.
So the second gear is 121-to-1. I'm still double in second gear what a Jeep is in first gear.
Right. Do you what at fifth gear do you are you close to what for their first gear is?
Fourth gear is where Jeeps beat me out.
Okay.
And that's 56-to-1 and they're 64-to-1. So that's kind of in comparison, right?
Right.
Now you take a Jeep and you put in say a 2-to-1 doubler. Like a Ruby crawler.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to double everything, right? So we're going to go from, let's just say we're going to do the 203-205 doubler.
Okay.
That's a 2-to-1. That brings the final drive ratio for Jeeps to 129-to-1 and crawl.
That's...
Which I think for Jeeps, given you guys have so much more displacement than a 22RE, a four-cylinder
yeah.
is, I think that's kind of like the sweet spot for Jeeps.
That'd be awesome.
100 to 130, 140. In my opinion, for Jeeps, that's where you want to be
mm-hmm.
for your final crawl ratio. Now, what I'd be curious at is to see how much torque that translates to.
Yeah.
Versus how much torque... The Toyota setup would translate to.
Do we need to get Lorenzo on that?
Lorenzo. So what I'm curious about
yeah.
is, because that sweet spot, in my opinion, for Jeeps
mm-hmm.
is that 130 range, right?
Yeah. So with the doubler.
With the doubler.
And the 4.1.
And the 4.1.
Stock engine.
And I've transition. Always kind of felt, watching people wield Jeeps, I've always felt like they do really, really well in that 130 range. In their okay. crawl ratio.
Right. How many JKs do you know that have the gear reduction box in them?
A couple that I've okay. seen. Or like a two-speed Atlas
sure.
that does a 2-to-1.
Okay.
So I know a few with two-speed Atlases in there. So they have that doubler in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always thought that's kind of like the sweet spot for Jeeps, right?
Yeah.
So I wanted to know from doing this calculation, the math, and we get the propeller
okay.
hat on here.
Yeah.
And after we sent to Lorenzo to find some information... Because we're stealing him.
They say he's on vacation.
They say he's on vacation.
He's really over here helping us.
Exactly. Shh, don't tell anybody. Quiet. So I was like, I wanted to know what is that torque, the final drive torque
yeah.
for Jeeps in that 130 range compared to Toyota's in the 225 range?
Sure. So what we're doing more or less is we're taking the... crawl ratio
mm-hmm.
and then multiplying it by the engine torque at their at the
at the given specs
that they set us.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is usually like the peak of where you're going to get the torque, how much torque that engine can produce physically.
Right. So we looked up the Pentastar.
We looked up the Pentastar 3.6. The 3.6 liter. Yeah. Yep.
And the 22 RE.
And the 22 RE. So two of the most common Toyota and Jeep engines out on the trails right now.
Okay. Well, I think let's before we jump to the final.
Okay.
The end. Let's just talk about
build the suspense.
Yes.
All right.
Let's talk about Let's talk about just what are the torque outputs of the of these two motors.
Okay. So the Pentastar 3.6 liter Jeep engine, the Chrysler, the Dodge, the Fiat engine is 269 foot-pounds of torque at 4,100 RPMs.
Okay. So when you're at 4,100 RPMs, you're at your peak torque.
Exactly, for that engine.
Which happens to be right around 270.
Mm-hmm. And the Toyota, the 22RE, at its peak point is 140 pounds of foot-pounds of torque at 3,600 RPMs.
Okay.
So it gets its peak torque a little bit lower in the curve.
Yeah. So we're like 130 foot-pounds less.
We're roughly, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So about right around half. We were just
kind of
barely over half
actually, yeah.
of the torque of the Pentastar engine.
Mm-hmm.
So given the Jeep's final gear ratio of 130.
Okay.
So that's with the doubler and everything.
With the doubler.
With the doubler. They are 34,701 foot-pounds of torque at 4,100 RPMs.
Okay. So 34,700.
Yep, 34,700 foot-pounds of torque.
Okay, so what is doing that same math, crawl ratio versus torque, or times torque, what do we get for the Toyota?
For the Toyota, we get 31,360.
Oh, so they'd be more.
3,600 RPMs, yeah. So they have more.
So a less crawl ratio, but because they have more torque over anyways.
They have more torque engine, from their engine, yep.
They would actually be a slightly higher torque output with those crawl ratios.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So, that's been our educational lesson for the day.
Yeah.
So, gears. So,
yeah, so what did we learn from that?
I have no clue. We just did it for fun.
Yeah. It was an interesting comparison.
Yeah, it's an interesting comparison.
You know, one of the things we find is a lot of Jeepers out there are just not doing the doublers, right? They're running, you know, what was it, 60?
64.
64 crawl ratio?
Yep. And at 64...
You going to do the math right
I'm
going
to do the math real quick.
64 times...
Times
269,
17,216 pound feet of torque.
Right. So you're then pretty much half of what we are.
Mm-hmm.
Torque, our final torque.
Yeah.
So that, in a way, kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Because of the gear ratios.
Yeah. Gear ratios, there's a lot you can do with gears. That's one of the reasons why we love them so much, is because there are a lot of things you can just kind of fuck around with and, play around with.
Yeah.
You got that E rating today. That you can play around with to customize to whatever driving experience you want to have for the off-roading you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really cool. I'm just amazed every time I go on the trails at how many people, unfortunately, that drive Jeeps. I'm not trying to pick on Jeeps. It just seems to be a Jeep thing. How many of them don't understand gears and what gearing does for you?
I think a lot of it comes down to, because, you know, I went out with some people a few months or so ago now, right? And they're bigger tires, stock ring and pinion.
Oh, no.
Right?
Yeah.
And then they're having to use power to get over these obstacles. And they're like, they make it and they're fine, right?
Yeah.
And they do it, but it's a lot harder on your vehicle.
It's a lot harder on your components. It's a lot more stressful.
You know,
when you're having to load up your engine, spool up your engine essentially, and hope your suspension doesn't unload on you as you're going up ledges.
I talked about this, and it was Brennan, and I said I put him up against a rock. I put him in, I put him in stock low.
Yeah.
And in first gear, and I said, drive up this rock, and he killed it.
Oh yeah.
Right? trying to drive, he's like, wow, driving a manual is weird, which is a whole nother story we can get onto. But and so he eventually got up, but he had to feather the clutch and give it a lot of gas. To get the horsepower and the torque that's required to
get
over this.
Which is very similar to what your torque converters do. Your torque converters are essentially feathering the same thing as feathering a clutch as you're trying to get up an obstacle.
Right.
Anyways.
So then I put him, said, okay, back up, drive against, hit the rock again, mm-hmm. took him out of the stock gear, uh-huh. put him in the 4.7, yep. said, okay, drive up that rock.
Yeah.
Right? What happened? It got twice as easy.
Yeah.
For the most uh-huh. part, roughly speaking.
Yeah.
Got twice as easy yeah. to go up that rock. So then I had him drive back down. I put him in low.
Uh-huh.
Drive up again. Okay. Now it's four times as easy as the first time.
Yeah.
You know, it's yep. just, you know, it's, you don't have to do as much work with the engine and the clutch and things like that mm-hmm. moving forward. You don't have to work in feathering it. Mm-hmm. Like we were sort of talking on early about descents, you know, it's like you can take your foot off that clutch, you know, and just use the gas pedal and use that as feathering the gas pedal mm-hmm. to get you up a rock or down the rocks or things like that. You don't have to concern yourself with all the other pedals for the most yeah. part. You're just concentrating on one.
Yeah. So really cool. Gearing is awesome stuff. Mm-hmm. Check out that video again on the differentials just because I love the video. It doesn't really mm-hmm. have a whole lot to do. I mean, it's, it has something to do with gearing, but it's a really cool video. So yeah.
I'll put a video down yep. in the link as well to tell you or show you how to do your crawl ratio.
Yeah. If people need to get a hold of us because they have more questions.
Which will happen.
Which is going to happen, I guarantee
which
it.
Which we actually enjoy.
We love it. We do love answering questions.
Either post them in the video comments below or write us. I'm Jimmy at snailtrail4x4.com. We got Tyler over here. Tyler at snailtrail4x4.com.
Yep.
You can find me on Instagram, snailtrail4x4.
Me on Instagram, 4x4 Toyota Tyler. You can find the website. Mm-hmm. All the podcasts are hosted there. There's links to the Patreon, the YouTube. Definitely make sure you check out the Patreon because, like I said, at the beginning of the episode, if you were not listening, you hadn't tuned in yet, we're doing some pretty cool big group buy plans. The giveaway is going to be coming up here at the end of the month, so you only have a couple more days to get in on that. And we're going to be closing off the gift box tier. Yeah. So make sure you go check out that if you are interested in any of that.
Also,
yes,
something we haven't really talked about.
Oh,
well, I mean,
us haven't talked about something. That's hard to believe.
You and I haven't. We've okay. very briefly hinted on this.
Okay,
we are somewhat talking about doing an event in December.
Yes, true.
And we do have on the $20 tier. Free entry
mm-hmm.
to those that are in the $20 tier.
That is true. I forgot about that. Mm-hmm. So that's a good point. So if you are on the gift box tier, you do get free entry to that event. If there is an entry, which there probably will be. If there's not an entry, then you get a free beer on us. Yay! Yeah.
We'll do something.
Yeah, we'll do something.
We'll give you an appetizer or whatever.
Yeah. yeah. We'll make some kind of special thing for
bonus.
It. So, yeah, check those out. Definitely hit us up if you guys have any questions on gearings. We're not mm-hmm. experts, but we understand the math, and hopefully we can, with Constantine's help, get through some of the math there on those.
And Tyler's got a lot of free hand or free time on his hands, so he'll
free hands on my time on his, too.
Yeah,
so.
This might list Dexia to kick it in. And he can do all this research for you. So message him, Tyler at snailtrail4x4.com.
I'm going to forward everything over to Jason and Chris and let Lorenzo do it all. So
there you go.
So very cool. Check us out. Check out the other episodes on the podcast. Hope you guys are enjoying it all. Check out our other brother and sister podcast, Wheeling Wine and Whiskey, as well as Mike and Max's Off-Road Podcast. They got some great stuff going on over there as well. Yeah, I think that's about it, bud. Right?
Yeah. Sounds
cool.
Great.
Any final words for everybody out there?
Crawl ratio.
And with that, my friends, keep crawling. Ready.
What room does a ghost not need?
The kitchen?
The living room.
Touche. Touche, good sir.
Not bad, not bad.
Not bad, not bad. And the crowd goes wild.